11-11. Make the smart call to Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. You hear that music, and that means it is time to chat with our guy, Ray Fittipaldo, from the Post-Gazette. Ray is coming to you on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, provided trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Ray, we talked under 24 hours ago. This is what happens sometimes when I jump around and host the different time slots. So we talked yesterday around 5:15, and now we are talking again. But let's start with T.J. Watt and his status or potential status for Sunday night. Is he going to play against the Ravens?
I think for sure he's going to play, Donnie, and I think his snap count is to be determined. Now, they're changing up their practice schedule a little bit today. They are going from 1-3 outside over at Acrisure. They were inside the first 2 days. TJ was limited the first 2 days. So we'll see what they list him as today. But just based on what I've been watching and how he looks out there, he's not going to be a full go, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he plays 65% of the snaps. This is a do-or-die situation. You need your best guys out there. And I think if he's going to dress, I think he's going to have a big role.
Do we think it's more of a – is it just going to be more of a split between he and Herbig, or are they going to work in the three-man mix? Because Alex Highsmith, when he's been out there, he's been playing some really good football.
Yeah, I mean, Alex is going to play his typical, 80-85%. So you don't have to worry about that. You know, it's an interesting scenario here with the Ravens, Donnie, because Jack Sawyer has been playing pretty well against the run. You could certainly use him in a game like this. And it could be a situation where you just bring Herbig in if the Ravens get behind the sticks. You know, second and long, third and long, maybe it's Herbig who's on the field situationally, and maybe it's Watt and Sawyer playing the bulk of the run snap. So we'll see how they draw it up. But the nice thing about having four really competent, one really great, another really good, and then two really competent backups is you have some flexibility there. So they're actually in a really good spot here with TJ coming back, I think.
When it comes to that Ravens run game, last Saturday night, we saw as a country Derrick Henry run for 216 yards and four touchdowns. He also had a career high in carries. So if you want to suggest, oh, he's old, he's going to slow down sometime soon, I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you. What does his stat line have to look like on Sunday night for the Steelers to win the football game, Ray?
Well, I mean, Donnie, it does depend on the carries. Listen, if they want to feed him 35 times and he only gets, say, 145 or 150, I think you might have a chance to win. But if he's anywhere up near 170, 180, over 200, then the Steelers, they're really going to be up against it, because that means the Ravens are controlling the clock. And, with Lamar Jackson back, they probably got a better shot of completing some of those drives with touchdowns. So that would be an uphill climb for the Steelers. But I would say, even if he had a game like he had the last time in Baltimore. Now, the Ravens kind of went away from him. They played some other players. But if they could keep him in check the way they kept him in check in Baltimore, I think they would have a shot as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few guys that if you say, well, he didn't get to 100 yards, but he was really close. He had 25 for 94 in the game. But a guy as good as Derrick Henry, that's a little, victory inside the game, if you will. So I feel like if it is something like that, they proved last time they could win the football game. I'd be pretty comfortable with, Henry's stat line if it's right around there. The Steelers could not run in that game, Ray. That was one of their worst running attacks as an offense all season. Jalen Warren, 8 carries for 13 yards. Kenneth Gainwell, 4 carries for 15 yards. The run game was highlighted by Aaron Rodgers on that bootleg, the discount double check celebration. They have to get the two running backs going in this game, though, Ray.
Yeah, Donnie, we had a chance to talk to Arthur Smith yesterday, and he's not concerned at all about that. He basically came out and said, we didn't try to run the football in Baltimore. And if you remember the first play of the game, it was a deep shot to DK. And that's, they continued in the same vein throughout that game. Now, he did mention it would have been nice your four-minute offense close out that game so you didn't have to give it back to Lamar. But he's not really deeply concerned about, you know, the yards per carry average in that football game. Looking ahead to Sunday night, you are right. They are going to have to run the ball better. There's no DK Metcalf. You would think they would want to control the clock a little bit, limit the possessions, even though Lamar isn't the same Lamar we've seen in seasons past. I think you kind of want to play keep away from him. So, yes, the running game is going to have to be better. Just to point out, though, they really didn't – they weren't committed to it in Baltimore, and I think that's going to be the big difference on Sunday night. I think you're going to expect to see more Kenny Gainwell and more Jaylen Warren getting handoffs in this game.
The Steelers will also be without Darnell Washington. He was injured on Sunday in Cleveland, the broken arm. He is out for the rest of the season, whether it ends on Sunday night or the Steelers do play a few more games after this. Washington is done. The Steelers were running the football at a decent rate in Cleveland. They kind of went away from that there as well, at least Jaylen Warren was. But how much of an uphill climb will it be in this game without Washington on the field for that offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. He was such a big part of their running game all season. He outsnapped any other tight end on the roster just because of that, because he's their best blocking tight end. So they're going to have to piece it together. You know, they, you know, Smith kind of smirked yesterday when we asked him, well, what are you going to do? He was like, we got options. So I think you might see Spencer Anderson in a tight end role now that, Isaac Seumalo is back. You could see, you know, a little bit more of Connor Hayward, and obviously you're going to see more of Pat Freiermuth, but that's going to be more when they're passing the ball more so than running the football. But make no mistake, that's a big loss. He was a big part of your offense all season, and not having him for the rest of the way here is going to be a big blow.
Do you think it has to be a big Pat Freiermuth game for the Steelers to win? And really for that, I mean, the way that his season has been, he only has the one game over 100 yards, that, you know, really career game in Cincinnati. But it just feels as if he is somebody that's wasted in this offense. When he gets the football, it's normally – normally a good thing is happening.
Yeah, not a very good pass defense in Baltimore either. So there's going to be opportunities, I think, for Freiermuth to have a big game. He should automatically see more snaps now that Washington is out, certainly in passing situations. And you know how the Steelers view him. The Steelers view him as a zone killer. Well, the Ravens are probably going to play a lot of man. I still want to take my shots with Pat Freiermuth. See if you can get a matchup you like. If you don't get a matchup you like on him, then you can maybe go in a different direction. Maybe it's Jonnu Smith. Maybe it's Kenny Gainwell who's going to have the big game for you. But I would agree with you. You know, if the Ravens are going to want to play the way they played in Baltimore in the first meeting last month, then Pat Freiermuth should have a big game, or at the very least some opportunities to have a big game.
Who do you expect to be the Steelers' top receiving threats in this game, Ray?
I don't know. Who do you think? I mean, it's like throwing darts at a dartboard.
MVS.
Yeah, I mean, like, do you really want to go to MVS when like there's no chemistry there with Rodgers in those last three plays? And like all we've heard about since he got here was he played with Rodgers for 4 years, but you wouldn't have known that watching the end of the Cleveland game. Roman Wilson is a possibility, but I don't know if you want to go down that road in a do or die situation where he's shown no chemistry with Aaron this season either. Calvin Austin has had a little bit of chemistry with Rodgers. I think getting him back might be good, but is he going to be limited? Is he going to be on a snap count? Because he's coming off an injury. So Donnie, when you look at it, they've just had so many things go wrong for them at the end of the season. You got the Washington injury. You got the Metcalf suspension. You know, hopping over to defense. You got the Watt thing. Like, if only one of these things happened, the Steelers probably would have clinched last week. But now we're in the situation where you got to try to overcome it in one game. And it just just looking at the lineup and looking at their options on offense, it doesn't seem like it's going to have a good outcome.
I mean, they should probably just have Kenneth Gainwell out wide for majority of his snaps. Let Jaylen Warren be the game's running back. I mean, Gainwell might be their best receiver without DK Metcalf on the field anyway.
Well, a couple of years ago, you saw them do the pony backfield for 5 or 10 snaps in Baltimore. If you'll remember, I think it was Najee and Jaylen Warren, and they kind of had a little bit of success doing that. So you might see a repeat of that. I know that was Matt Canada at that time, but you're in a situation now where you got to pull out all the stops. You know, you got to empty the playbook, your trick plays, whatever you got. You got to try to manufacture some offense to score some touchdowns in this game.
You mentioned Roman Wilson's name. Over under 7.5 snaps for him on the Steelers offense.
You know, I'll go over, but just because they played so poorly last year, they might want to throw a few more his way. But I don't think he'll be super involved in the game plan.
Over under 0.5 receptions.
Let's give him one. I'll give him one.
I think you're just being classic nice guy Ray Fittipaldo there, giving the guy one catch and over 7.5 snaps. Somebody else that has kind of turned into this year's version of that is Caleb Johnson. The guy's been a healthy scratch for the last few games, and you know when you have guys getting dinged up left and right, it feels a little bit risky to not at least give the guy a helmet. What's going on there?
Well, number one, he doesn't play special teams. And if you're going to be a third-string running back and you're not on teams, you better do something for the offense. And he just hasn't provided anything. You know, there was a stretch there in the middle of the season, Donnie, where they were giving him a series or two per game. But, you know, he was okay, but he wasn't ripping off any big runs where you had to say, hey, let's give this guy more opportunities. So he's just in a tough situation. And honestly, it's going to be in a tough situation next year if they re-sign Kenny Gainwell. I mean, if I was the Steelers, I would try to run it back with Warren and Gainwell again. I know their offense has been inconsistent this year, but I don't think it has anything to do with those running backs. I think those guys have been really solid contributors to the offense all season long.
Talking to Ray Fittipaldo, covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. You know him. Ray, when it comes down to the Steelers voting for team MVP, is that coming up today? Is that when we find out when that is?
We thought it was going to be yesterday, but they are going to announce that today, I am told.
Who do you think that's going to be?
Well, we were speculating yesterday, since they delayed it a day, that Jalen Ramsey talks on Fridays, so it might be Jalen Ramsey, which would make sense. I mean, the guy kind of like took one for the team, and I think if you're looking for like how players would thank him moving from corner to safety and doing the job that he's done, I think he might get a lot of player votes. So that's one theory that we came up with yesterday. Or it could be they just delayed it a couple of days and it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. To me, it's like Rodgers, it's Ramsey, maybe a dark horse would be Cam Hayward. But, you know, other than those guys, I think, your options are pretty limited.
My pick is Kenneth Gainwell. That's who my pick would be.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the most indispensable in terms of the offense. He probably just doesn't have the numbers. But, I mean, like if you're going to pick a Jalen Ramsey, you certainly could pick a Kenny Gainwell because it wouldn't be a traditional pick. But, I'm with you. In terms of his value to the offense, he's been outstanding this year.
Speaking of Jalen Ramsey, how do you feel he enjoys kind of the transition he's had defensively?
Well, he's not very talkative. You get him after games, win or lose, and he's just one of these guys who just doesn't like to do media. He's been a little bit better on Fridays when he does talk. We get the sense that this might be something he wants to do to extend his career. So maybe that's in Pittsburgh, maybe that's someplace else. But I think in terms of what he's done on the football field, it's been really, really good. You know. Rough start to the season with him as a cover corner. That obviously didn't work the way he wanted or the Steelers wanted it. But when you put that transition out there to safety and, you see the way the defense has turned around since he went back there, it's it's hard to argue with his value to the football team. So we'll see if they want to go down that road. I know they just rid themselves of a big safety contract in Minka, but they're probably going to have to pony up again in that neighborhood if they want to going to keep Jalen Ramsey as their starting free safety.
Somebody else who I feel like has had a pretty good back half of the season, and you know, in some ways a very good back half of the season after a rocky start, is Joey Porter Jr., Ray. Yeah. Is that kind of how you have seen things as well? I mean, you know, the tackling with a corner can almost always be better, but, you know, his most important job is taking away a team's best or second best target, and it seems like he's doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I think in the first half of the season he was playing well in coverage, but some of the penalties kind of made people say he's playing bad. But coverage-wise, he was always pretty good. You know, he just got some pass interference and got some defensive holding calls. Now, in the second half of the season, those penalties have been down. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he's allowed a touchdown this season. I think he's the only Steelers corner who hasn't allowed a touchdown this season. Let's spin it ahead to Sunday night. This officiating crew that's coming to town, I think they call the third most defensive holding penalties of any crew in the NFL. So certainly something to keep an eye on. I know the Steelers scout these crews like they scout the teams coming in, but Joey's going to have to behave on Sunday night if he's going to want to stay off the penalty sheet.
Ah, that's a very good note, Ray, a good note about the officials, because they certainly played a factor in that first game, one that it felt like the Steelers dominated for 45 minutes, and then the Ravens thought they had the game-winning touchdown at the end. That was more of a dumb rule, but they did make the correct call.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think there's any arguing with that. I think you look at that, and everyone says it's a catch, but by the letter of the law and the way the NFL has it drawn up, it certainly was not a catch.
Dylan Cook continues to play at left tackle, Ray, and he's filled in, I would say, pretty admirably for Broderick Jones. And I think there should even be some conversations of, is this guy better than Broderick Jones? One dude was undrafted, the other guy was a first-round pick, but should there be some sort of competition going into next season?
Yeah, I mean, Donnie, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about this in a week or two, I think, or three or four, depending on if they have a run. But, Broderick's situation with that neck injury, them having to decide if they're going to pick up the option, by May, you may not know. I mean, it's unfortunate, but they had that situation with Ryan Watts last year. You know, Ryan Watts had neck surgery, and, 6 months later in training camp, I think they announced, or maybe it was right before training camp, that he had to retire. And I'm not forecasting that for Broderick. I'm just pointing out that neck injuries are tricky, and I think it's going to take a while here for the medical staff to determine, you know, what his future is. And if he's cleared, that's great. You know, he'll come back and he'll compete. But I think you're right about Dylan Cook. I think they've got to be in a situation where they're going to have to finally let the best player play. And if that's Dylan Cook, so be it. And I'll just throw one thing out there, and we'll talk about this in March, April, May, June, July. You could also shift Broderick back to right for one season and bump Fautanu inside with Sayamalu leaving without a contract. So that's certainly an option that you could look at down the road, because people thought Fautanu might be a better guard than a tackle. He's been really good as a tackle. I don't know if you want to mess with that, but that's one option you could explore as well.
Right. I don't want to mess with that, because I think he's been great at right tackle for them. Would they consider maybe bumping Jones inside? Sometimes we have seen some tackles who can't transition as well to the NFL move inside. Mekhi Becton, I think, is a good example of that. You know, he was great in Philly last year. Yeah. He's been pretty good for the Chargers this year. He was a tackle when drafted, couldn't really, work with the NFL speed, moved inside. He's ended up being a pretty good guard.
Yeah, different body type, though. I mean, he's really a big body.
Yeah, he's massive.
Broderick slimmed down. I mean, he's lighter than Darnell Washington now. So he just doesn't have that guard body type. So he would have to, they would have to change his body over the offseason, I think. to do that. And honestly, I just don't know if he's physical enough either. I mean, he's a guy who was drafted because he's athletic. He's more of a finesse tackle. I just don't know if he would fit the mold of a good NFL guard.
Ray, who is going to win this game Sunday night, and who gets the game ball?
Oh, man, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, Donnie, but maybe they'll prove me wrong. I'm going to go Ravens 20, Steelers 17. And much to the dismay of everyone, I think Lamar Jackson is going to make a couple of big plays in this game. He's not going to be MVP, Lamar, but I think he's going to win it for him in the fourth quarter.
There we go. Ray Fittipaldo going with a Ravens victory over the Steelers. Ray, some good news for you. After practice is all wrapped up today, there is a Rocky Marathon on AMC, going back to the conversation that we had yesterday. And the even better news for you, they are getting Rocky 5 out of the way first before they show all the good ones. So you don't have to worry about the good ones starting until, I think, 2 p.m.
You just planned my Friday night.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Ray.
All right, Donnie. We'll see you.
There we go. Ray Fittipaldo from the PG. I want to get back to your calls at 412-928-9370. Your thoughts, your feelings on this Steelers-Ravens matchup on Sunday night. 412-928-9370. Let's get a few in here before we go to break, and we'll take more out of the break as well. You know the number. Bob is on the fan. What's up, Bob?
Hi, Donnie.
What's up, Bob?
I think it has to go through Kenny Gainwell. Line him out at wide receiver and have him take away the defense and let Jaylen Warren run it. You know, they got to control that ball.
I do think, Bob, and I appreciate the call, that you should try to get both of those guys on the football field at the same time, especially when you are going to be down a couple of playmakers on offense. No DK Metcalf, no Darnell Washington. Kenneth Gainwell would be as good of a receiving threat as anybody else they're going to put on that field, because that's just kind of how little I think of the game of every other guy that they have out there. Adam Thielen was good a few years ago, but he's not going to be like a big play machine. This isn't 2017. It's not even 2023, the last time he actually had a really solid year. 412-928-9370. Tony and Butler. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Donnie. Austin.
Hey, what's up?
Man, they should put a show on from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock with you and Austin. You guys are the best.
Thanks, Tony.
That being said, listen, this is a great forum. People always calling and complaining. I think as Steeler Nation, we should be feeling good about this. This is essentially a playoff game. We're playing a meaningful game in January. And if they win, they do have a chance because, I mean, look, they beat New England. They beat Detroit. They beat Indianapolis. Those are top five offenses when they beat those teams, and they would have a good chance. And I also definitely like putting Gainwell out as a wide receiver. That would definitely help the offense. I'm pretty sure he leads the team in receptions, and I think Rodgers trusts him a little bit.
I mean, he trusts him a lot. I mean, he has the best catch of any Steeler all season. He had one of the best catches of any NFL player all season. That touchdown he had in Detroit is a highlight. Yeah, he leads the team in receptions. He has 65 receptions on the season. And the next closest is DK Metcalf, who has 59. Metcalf will finish his first season with the Steelers, regular season that is, with 59 grabs, 850 yards, 6 touchdowns. He also has a rushing touchdown to his credit on the year. But Gainwell has 7 touchdowns, 4 of them on the ground, 3 as a receiver. He, to me, should be the team's MVP. He has just under 1,000 yards from scrimmage, and this is a guy that they brought in to be a third down back. Pretty good